Have you ever been to a mushroom festival in Italy?
Ciao, siamo Gabriele e Angelique. Benvenuti nel nostro podcast. We are passionate language learners and we record for you the language learning podcast we'd like to play when we learn new languages.
Our podcast in mixed English and simple Italian helps beginners and intermediate Italian language learners enjoy engaging content about Italy, its language, and its culture from day zero of their language learning journey.
Today, we'd like to share with you a short discussion on the country fairs in Italy and our first-hand experience on a local mushroom festival.
Also called Le Sagre, the purpose of these festivals is to bring in people and celebrate the numerous local products they have before winter starts. This September, we headed to a little town in Liguria called Bardinetto, where we tried out their mushroom-based dishes.
In this episode, we'll talk about what a sagra is, what to expect when joining the country fair, mushrooms and the other dishes we tried out while we were there, as well as our thoughts about being in a local countryside fair. This episode will leave you hungry and motivated to visit Italy during the sagra period.
In the meantime, you can support us by leaving us a review in Apple Podcasts and on Spotify, and by joining our Patreon community. And now, we present to you our conversation about Le Sagre. Bentornati, ragazzi. So welcome back to the Italian Escape podcast. For today, Gabriele and I will be talking about something that happens very frequently in Italy every year. And that would be I Sagri, Le Sagre.
Le Sagre.
Le Sagre in Italia. So I think people are wondering, what is sagra? Maybe Gabriele, you could explain it.
Yes. So I think a sagra is like best defined in English as a countryside fair, una fiera di campagna. But its characteristic is that it's something very small, something that takes place in small villages, and because in Italy there are a lot of these small villages, per esempio nella zona in cui viviamo noi, praticamente ogni vallata ha un paese, so every valley has a village, and there are a lot of valleys because there are a lot of mountains in Italy. And during, let's say, from late springtime till early autumn or fall, at least every week there's one sagra. Quindi ogni settimana c'è una sagra di paese. And it's fun because this way people just go to the next village for that village's fair, and then they move to maybe another village again on the next weekend, and so on. And so it is a way of enjoying these 6 months of the year, between, let's say, May and October. And do you know why it's during that period, Angie?
I think it's because there's a lot of produce, I guess.
Quello è un motivo. Sicuramente durante l'estate, la primavera, l'inizio dell'autunno ci sono un sacco di prodotti agricoli. So a lot of produce, it's common during that period. But it's not just that. It's that, as I was saying, those fair take place most often in this mountain or hillside villages. So during winter it's too cold. There's snow everywhere. So it's very hard. It's hard to move from one village to another, and open spaces are covered in snow, and people want to stay inside. They don't want to go outside. So when it's really cold, usually you don't have that. And this is because most of those fairs are like mountain fairs, like the one we went to.
Yeah. So recently, I think, it was mid-September, early September. Siamo andati a Bardinetto, un paese molto piccolo vicino Savona, territorio savonese. E abbiamo goduto l'opportunità di mangiare tanti funghi, because it was a sagra for funghi or mushrooms.
Sì, esatto, ci siamo goduti questa sagra, ed è famosa, la chiamano la sagra del fungo d'oro, so the countryside fair of the golden mushroom.
How come it's gold? Is it golden?
It is not gold, and by the way, it sounds like almost Chinese, you know, the countryside fair of the golden mushrooms. I think it's just lacking something like some treasure stuff. Like if it were probably a Chinese fair, they would say probably something like the countryside fair of the golden mushrooms and the five treasures, something like that. È vero?
Yeah, that could work. That could work. Could be a novel too.
Esatto. Ed è una sagra molto famosa nella zona, nella regione, e dura 2 o 3 giorni e vengono da tutta la provincia per partecipare. It takes place at the end of September when it's rainy season, so there's a lot of rain and that triggers a lot of mushrooms, of course. So we just went into this like 2 or 3 days of eating mushroom spree. Ti ricordi?
See, I think I don't know how many grams or what go for kilos already.
Chili, chili, chili. Abbiamo
Chili.
decisamente mangiato chili di funghi. Sì.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of histamine reaction after I was like, I think overdosed with mushrooms. I think, well, not in the medical sense, you know, those new mushrooms that are being used by people.
Yeah,
These are the regular mushrooms, the ones that you can eat legally.
we didn't get high, if that's what you're wondering. Non erano funghi allucinogeni.
True. And of course, it was my first time when I came to Italy to, you know, see a lot of, like, a variety of mushrooms. Nelle Filippine non c'erano questa vista, diciamo. Like, there are so many mushrooms here in Italy that I got used to the idea that, oh, mushrooms are this colorful, this, you know, different from each other, and then I got so fascinated by them, and so I start looking for them when we go travel abroad.
Yeah, I think mushrooms are not really a tropical thing. They're more like this, say, temperate weather climate produce because they don't grow all year long. They really require some specific weather conditions, some specific climate. Quindi, per esempio, in Italia di solito si trovano a settembre. Ottobre, quelli che si raccolgono nei boschi. So the one that you can collect, they're only available during those 2 months, basically. And of course, you can find the usual, like we call them champignon. They're small
White stuff.
white mushrooms that are grown in greenhouses, basically.
Yeah, so if you go to a pizzeria and you say voglio or vorrei una pizza con funghi, pizza di funghi, I don't know.
Pizza
There
ai funghi.
pizza ai funghi, you're gonna see champignon most of the time. And if you go to places like where we went, Bardinetto, there was this pizzeria that were just putting a lot of different mushrooms. I mean, they're preserved. You cannot just have all those mushrooms being used only for pizza because there are not that many mushrooms being grown during those months. There's a limited number of mushrooms, I think.
No, non è una questione di quanti funghi sono coltivati. It's not a matter of how many mushrooms are grown. It's more that some types of mushrooms cannot be grown.
On other
They need to.
months,
They can only be fostered.
foraged.
Foraged, sorry, foraged. They can only be foraged. And because of this, they're only available during those 2 months. And so the only way to enjoy them during the remainder of the year is to actually preserve them, and they can actually be preserved in several ways. Like, what's your favorite? Qual è il modo in cui preferisci mangiare i funghi conservati?
Dipende dei funghi. I like the one that's preserved in oil usually, but I also like the dry one, but it doesn't give me that much satisfaction, the dried ones.
Yeah, well, it depends what you want to do. Like, we use, as you know, guys, in Italy, we are obsessed about the food. So for something as delicious as mushrooms, of course, we have many ways to preserve them and many ways to eat them.
Mm-hmm.
So I funghi secchi, so the dried mushrooms, sono particolarmente indicati per fare il sugo di funghi. So we use dried mushrooms to prepare a sauce for the pasta, usually.
Yeah.
Then there are like mushrooms preserved in oil, the one that we call porcini.
Okay, yeah.
They're especially good to be placed on pizza, for example, or to be just eaten like that as an aperitivo.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are also the one preserved in vinegar, for example, and those are also, they also can be used in like aperitivo or, again, on pizza. And yeah, guys, pizza with funghi, it's really a thing here. Se venite in Italia, provatela. Non la trovate fuori dall'Italia, la pizza con i funghi.
You think
a me
so?
Non è mai capitato.
Even in America, you think?
A me non è capitato. Può essere che ci sia, ma di sicuro non la trovate con i funghi italiani, che sono particolari, non crescono ovunque. They are specific of this of Italy, of the region of Italy. And so if you come, enjoy it. And ordinate la pizza con i porcini. And you won't be disappointed if you appreciate mushrooms.
Yeah, and I think you have to go to the mountainous area because I don't think the cities close to the sea would provide that, especially if you're far.
No.
I don't know. If you're far away from the mountains, it's like higher chances to have a diverse set of mushrooms in your pizza.
Diciamo sì, è vero. Però i funghi porcini si trovano un po' ovunque.
Ah, okay.
Perché si usano quelli conservati sott'olio di solito.
Giusto.
A meno che non è la, diciamo, non andate in montagna o in campagna, so in the countryside during the mushroom season, and then yes, in the countryside you can have more variety of pizzas with mushrooms, ma solo se andate durante quel periodo, altrimenti sono funghi conservati e li trovate uguali ovunque.
True. Hi everyone, hope you're enjoying our episode. Are you struggling to keep your Italian language learning goals in check? Do you want someone to help you out and explain the language in a more personalized manner? With Italki, you can do all that. I myself have been taking Italian classes with Italki, and it has helped me immensely as my teacher gives me more time to understand and digest the complexity of Italian grammar through reading and writing exercises. Usually this is pretty expensive when you do it in person, but with Italki, language learning can be more affordable. With our affiliate link, you can get additional Italki credits of $10 once you purchase $20 worth of classes. Click on the link in our show notes and you can get extra Italki classes now. Thanks again for your time, and let's head back to our episode.
It's like, it's the same thing, like if you, let's say that pizza is a bit like pasta, so it it depends. There are some classics, right? So like pasta alla pomarola, which is like pasta with tomato, or pasta alla bolognese, which is like pasta with meat sauce, and those are like pasta alla carbonara, so pasta,
yeah, the classics,
yeah, with eggs, and then those are the classics, like. But then everywhere you go, if you go to the seaside in the north, you'll get some kind of pasta ai frutti di mare. If you go to the seaside in the south, you have something different. If you go to the mountains, we have maybe
cinghiale.
Pasta con sugo di cinghiale, so wild boar sauce, or And the same goes with pizza, actually. Pizza is the same. So there are some group classics like Margherita, which is a simple one, or
Quattro formaggi.
So we have this pizza with four different varieties of cheese. Oppure ci sono anche
la quattro stagioni,
eccetera. Però poi ogni zona ha le sue specialità. Quindi se andate in una città di mare ci saranno più pizze con like with seafood, con frutti di mare o col pesce. Se andate in montagna saranno più pizze col tartufo, o pizza with truffle, o pizza con i funghi,
formaggi,
eccetera. Quindi sì, like maybe one advice is choose properly your pizza or your pasta depending where you go. Like what did we have? I don't remember. Like we had the pizza with mushrooms?
Yeah, everything had mushrooms. I mean, we took, because there's this pizzeria, notorious one in that area, because it's classical Genoese hospitality. I don't know, Gabriele.
We have a great name, by the way.
Okay, what's the name?
La Zecca Garbugli. So
I don't remember.
Allora, La Zecca Garbugli è un personaggio di un romanzo molto famoso in Italia, I Promessi Sposi. So it's the name comes from this very famous Italian novel, and it literally means the loophole catcher. And well, I think you can guess this character was a lawyer.
Yeah. But anyway, this guy who makes the pizzas, he's like, oh, okay, like not so friendly, but has a weird sense of humor, a dark sense of humor, I guess. Very Genoese. We had this menu where there's the classic pizzas and on special pizzas. But aside from the special pizzas, there was a section dedicated only to mushrooms, I funghi. So we were just, it was hard for us to choose because there were like 10 choices. And we're only two people and we don't have big appetites. So you can imagine how hard it was to choose.
Sì, immaginate, ogni sera una pizza diversa con I funghi. E non avevamo abbastanza sere. So we didn't have enough evening to appreciate all the pizzas.
But we only took two chances there. Because one of the other evenings we actually went to the Sagra.
True.
Yeah, so September it was still a bit hot. Well, this year in particular, it was a bit hot during the day. It was chillier in the evening by the mountains. So we grabbed a chance to fill ourselves up during the evenings with a lot of funghi outside. And in this pizzeria, of course, it was really good because what kind of mushrooms did we get? There was porcini for sure.
Yeah, porcini. Il fungo porcino è re dei funghi in Italia, so the king of mushrooms, the
for
most
many.
Famous and appreciated. Not for me personally, but like majority of people reckons this mushroom as the best one. And we had fried mushrooms, very good.
Chanterelle, or I don't know how
Chanterelle?
Do you? No, I don't remember. What's that special mushroom you like?
I finferli.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
it's that's very hard to find.
Yeah, it's another very European mushroom. Like, li chiamiamo o finferli o galletti. That's a very specific name, so don't bother. They're just those.
Very
they,
yellow.
They look like yellow flowers. Yeah.
Yeah, and you find it in Austria, in Italy, in the Nordic countries, in Poland, I guess as well, but not outside Europe, I think.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, aside from the specifics of
mushrooms,
what we ate and mushrooms, yeah. What did you appreciate the most out of this fair, and what do you appreciate the most out of countryside fairs of Sagre in general?
Allora, quello che mi è piaciuto è la solidarietà, like the sense of community. Because, as you can imagine, there was a big tent during this Sagra. And there were really long tables, like, you know, in the commune or something like that. And then anyone could just sit next to each other. Like, you don't have to be part of the family. You don't have to be friends. You just sit next to each other. Sadly, of course, people like to look at their phones and stuff. But if you didn't really want to do that, you could also take the opportunity to, you know, talk to someone you don't know. E poi potete immaginare che nei questi paesi anyone knows each other. And so it's like you have a sense of belonging. You don't feel that alone, even though people are like, what are you going to do in the countryside? You don't do anything. It's kind of boring. But it's not really true if you try to open your doors and meet people, just like in the Sagra.
Diciamo che ti puoi sentire parte di una grande famiglia. You can feel like you belong to a wider, broader family.
True. And what I like is that they actually find value in their local cuisine, their local products, such as the mushroom. And they use it as a way to attract tourists. Not even enough, I must say, aside from the fact that there's this event. But yeah, that's what I liked, especially in sagras like this. Like, you have a sense of belonging. And in this day and age, it's kind of hard to find that in the cities.
È vero, è vero, è vero. Questo però è vero un po' in generale della vita di paese. So like this village side lifestyle, it's always more humane. Let's say you feel more connected with your fellow villagers, let's say. The downside is that there are not that many services when you live there. And so if someone is used to live in a city, it's not that easy to adapt. But it's definitely a must-go for vacation, at least a couple of times a year.
Yeah, I mean, non è uguale. I think if someone looks for Italian villages in YouTube, there are not that many who will show you that. Maybe there's this one guy I keep on watching, this Dutch guy who's trying to rebuild his home in the Italian Alps, okay. But there are not that many who actually like the idea of living in a village where there's not that many resources. As Gabriele said, devi andare a prendere cibo che non sono solo i funghi o patate, no? Oppure, like, tissue paper. There's, of course, this little store, convenience store or drug store, as they say, drogheria, by the city center of that town. But it's the only one, I think, that sells.
Sì,
that.
È proprio una vita diversa, con dei ritmi più lenti.
Molto lenti.
Quindi va apprezzata. Ci vuole un po' di tempo per abituarsi. It takes a bit to get used to it. Ma ci si sente molto più rilassati, molto più in touch with each other and with nature.
Yeah, true. La natura è molto, si sente di più, si sente più vicino la natura, because if you go to Bardinetto or if you just look for Bardinetto in the internet, you can see that it's surrounded by hills, not even mountains, not that high of a mountain, but a lot of these hills. And you could go through these hills and just feel nature around you. It's different from the city, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, this is it, guys. And if you come to Italy, try to find a time to appreciate some of these countryside fairs. They're really worth it as a way both to appreciate this special kind of holiday of party and also as a way to experience and enjoy the countryside life in Italy, which is very different from what you can find and appreciate in the big touristic cities.
Do you think it's different, like, from the, you know, pumpkin fairs in America?
It could be something similar, but of course, like, with a strong Italian touch, right? And with this, I think that's it for today.
Yes.
And hope you appreciated this
short episode.
Short digression on countryside fairs, which is, like, not well known, but very strong part of Italian identity.
So if you just look for Sagra or Festa in Italia, there are a lot, and they organize it like by year, this website. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So let us know what you think of this episode, of course. As usual, you can reach out to us at the Italian Escape Podcast at gmail.com. And as usual, we hope you will hear from us again very soon. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.